brothers and sisters. Please, if you haven't already, take the fellowship pad that starts in the center aisle and pass it down to your neighbor so we can have a record of your presence. Just a couple of announcements this morning. Ina Dotson's open reception for her art exhibit was postponed to this Sunday. So today from 2:30 to 4:30, you can go over and see her work. And next Sunday, February 3rd, will be the Super Bowl of Caring. And there will be a collection taken that will benefit the lunch ministry. So remember that for next week. And now let's prepare our hearts to worship the Lord. Please join me in the responsive call to worship found printed in your bulletin. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The fear of the Lord is sure, enduring forever. The ordinance of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Let us worship God. Our first hymn is number 324, Open My Eyes That I May See.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Well, we're starting a nice, sparkly new week, and it's great that we can begin a new week. It's also great that we can leave the previous week behind, and this is the time in our service where we have the opportunity to think about what we might want to leave behind and open ourselves up to God's plans for us in the future. Let's pray together the unison prayer of confession, and then in silence offer to God what lies hidden in our hearts. O God, have mercy upon us, and through Christ forgive our sin. He called the church to be one body, with parts to make it function. We sever that one body through suspicion and hostility. We cannot dine around one common table. We divide into separate bodies and pretend to be the church. We take from one another what belongs to us all. By your grace, make us one in Christ. Amen. Let's receive together the assurance of pardon. Paul declares that as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. Good morning. Take a card, any card. You're gonna have two. I'll take one. So what do you have?
What's on your card?
A mouth.
How about yours?
An ear.
An ear.
A hand.
I have an eye.
I have a foot. I have a nose.
A nose. Okay. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to some Corinthians, and he was he's basically saying that all of us in the body of Christ are like, we all have our certain gift to bring. Like, what gift does the eye bring to the body? To see. How about the hands? To feel and to pick up. And the ear, what does the ear bring to the body? What does it help you do? To hear. How about the mouth? You can do all kinds of things with the mouth.
To talk.
To eat. What do you have? The feet?
To walk.
Nose. And the nose? To sniff. And even to help taste, right? So, everybody out there, and all you guys too, you all, maybe you're not an eye necessarily, or maybe you're not a hand, but maybe you have a special gift, something that God has helped you to be really, really good at. When you bring those gifts to all of us, then we all function together. And Paul said, what would happen if everybody was an eye? Where would our sense of hearing be? So, let's bring it down to something simple. Now, you have the mouth, and I have a bag of Airheads, and your mouth would probably like to taste these Airheads. But if you're just the mouth, there's no way for you to get to these Airheads, right? So, the ear might hear some instructions, and the hands, you're going to really need the hands here, right? And the feet can help you walk over there to it. And the nose is going to help these Airheads taste even better than they would if you just had the mouth, right? So when all of us are working together, we can get things done that couldn't happen otherwise. So always remember to bring your gifts. And for all of you out there, if you're not bringing your gifts, this body is not functioning the way it's intended to do. We're disabled in some way, right? So, as you enjoy these Airheads, go ahead and take one or two. Don't have to ask you twice, right? You want one or two? I got plenty. Or three? You just want one? I'll tell you what, take them back there and you guys can split them up when you get to the back. But before you leave, let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, that you have made each one of us special with something special to bring to your body. We thank you that we are members of one another and that we cannot do things and we can't enjoy things without one another. And we pray that you would help us to always serve you and always love one another and understand how we need one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's join together in the unison prayer for illumination. Lord of joy and mercy, be with us this day as we seek your voice and your guidance. Remove the obstacles that block our commitment and help us to be truly your disciples. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Our first scripture, it comes from Nehemiah. It's chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, 5 and 6, and 8 through 10. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all those who were able to understand. And he read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra opened the book, and all the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and the people lifted up their hands and responded, Amen, amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Joyce read in Nehemiah the gathering of the people in the Old Testament to worship. We come in the Gospel of Luke, the fourth chapter, to a place where Jesus comes to worship. And we see some similarities and some differences to how Jesus conducts a worship service. Starting in the 14th verse, we hear once again the word of God. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom, and stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord," or the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Writer Dan Miller, in his book, Wisdom Meets Passion, tells of growing up in a conservative rural family in Ohio with no radio or TV in the house. So Dan found his information in books and consequently became an avid reader. However, when he was about 12 years old, something happened that would change his life dramatically. He was introduced to a phonograph recording by a noted motivational speaker of the time named Earl Nightingale. And the record was titled, "The Strangest Secret." On the recording, Dan Miller heard this gravelly voice man say that he could be everything he wanted to be. All he would have to do is change his thinking. In his recorded talk, Nightingale introduced Miller to six words that could dramatically change a person's life. The words were these: "We become what we think about." Now reflect about those words for a minute. We become what we think about. Now I'm not sure if I was 12 years old, I would want to become what I was thinking about. But Dan Miller recognized that if that were true, that we become what we think about, the possibilities of what he could do with his life were limitless. Mr. Nightingale's secret, of course, was based on that famous biblical principle, "For as a person thinks in his heart, so is he," from Proverbs 23:7. Miller was also influenced by the famous preacher of that day, Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, and his power of positive thinking. This approach to life was radically different than the more rigid ways of thinking in which Dan had been raised. We become what we think about. That meant he could become more than he had ever dreamed if he just thought the right things. He knew such ideas would not be welcome in his house, so he hid the record under his mattress. He says that while his friends were hiding other things under the bed, he was hiding Earl Nightingale's message of hope and opportunity. It had captured his imagination, as it had captured the imagination of hundreds of thousands of other people throughout history. Worship can do that. It can change your thinking. Now, there are not very many times during worship that we talk about the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. However, if you pair it with our passage from Luke 4, these are some of the best pictures of just how people worshiped in the majority of biblical times. Now, we have many, many passages that tell us that people worship God. The Bible is full of sermons, it's full of prophetic speeches, it's full of prescriptions about how worship of God should be taking place. But not very many places where it actually was. Now, while most of the book of Nehemiah is taken about by the return of the exiles from captivity and about rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem and the deplorable conditions spiritually and physically of God's people when they returned to their homeland, this passage gives a clear picture of how the people gathered. They heard the law read and explained to them, and then they fell down on their faces, worshiped with gratefulness and rejoicing, pouring out their hearts in thankfulness and confession, changing the whole way that they looked at their condition at that time. Jesus, hundreds of years later, follows the same pattern. Read the scriptures, expound upon the scriptures, people rejoice and are amazed, changing the way that they saw themselves as the body of the church. Now, if you put in some music and announcements today, thousands of years later, basically we do the same thing, although I don't know about you, but if we were required to bow our faces to the ground, I'm not sure whether I could get back up. But we come, we gather for worship. We hear the scriptures read and expounded upon. We worship in love and joy. We demonstrate to the world that we are the body of Christ, that we are part of the people of God. And although we may be only 70, there may be 70 some other churches joining at the same time that we worship every Sunday, maybe in different styles, maybe in different buildings, we are still all the body of Christ that Paul wrote about and that Joyce talked about with the children. I know that there are many people in today's world that downplay the role of gathering together to worship. They say things like, I can read and understand the Bible for myself. I can worship in the beauty of God's creation. I can watch YouTube videos or participate in chats on social media and learn more about God than I ever could coming to church on a Sunday morning. And yet for me, there is something definitely missing with those kinds of experiences of God's Word. Nehemiah and Jesus remind us that there is nothing quite like all of God's people joining together in worship. In Nehemiah, it takes place in the water near the water gate, where one of the few places at that time that was large enough where all the people could gather together. The people gathered by the water gate, they beg to hear the law of Moses. They weep to hear Ezra read aloud the will and the wisdom of their God. Now, in most churches today, I don't hear a lot of people begging. I don't hear a lot of people weeping to hear God's word. However, in quiet, we definitely come yearning for God's word, maybe in a little more quiet fashion. We come to contemplate how it applies to our lives. We may yearn to hear Jesus' words when we wonder how our world gets by these days. Where in the world is God's good news resounding in the ears of the poor? We may question in our hearts when the scripture will be fulfilled in our hearing. The oppressed do not appear free. Many remain captive to poverty, to violence, to fear, to addiction. The list goes on and on. We want answers, even though we know we have fallen short of the glory of God, and perhaps God feels far away to us. Yet we still come. Nehemiah and Ezra wanted to change the people's outlook when they joined together that day. The reaction of the people is all wrong, they said. Grieving and weeping for what is lost is not what they were there to do. Rejoicing, not crying, was in order. Celebrating, not mourning, was what they commanded. Throw a party, don't wail in lament. The joy of the Lord, they say, is their strength. The joy of the Lord, not their circumstances, nor the conditions of the world at that time, should dictate their mood, their well-being, and their outlook as they joined as the body of Christ. Worshiping together does that. If you are learning on a computer, or if you're lost in your phone, or you're wandering the web, it is too easy to get so self-focused that you lose all perspective. God, lost in nature, sometimes will cause you to fail to realize the gift we have been given, not just in nature, but in the family of God gathering together. Gathering together, praying together, studying together can change our faith perspective to one based on the promise and the presence of God. We have Jesus reading of the prophets and his definitive statement that very day Isaiah's words were being fulfilled. In our hearing of this reading of the scroll today, not just when Jesus walked the earth, the scriptures are still being fulfilled. Good news does resound. The oppressed indeed can go free. Captives are released and assured. The blind do see. Jesus' words can be trusted even today. And it's a wonder that we are not weeping with joy. The writer Annie Dillard colorfully describes what worship might look like if we approached it as the people of Nehemiah 8 did. She says, "Does anyone have the foggiest idea what sort of power we so blithely invoke? It is madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should be issuing life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to the pews. For the sleeping God may wake someday and take offense, or the waiting God may draw us out to where we can never return." That's the power of corporate worship. That's the power of coming into the midst of a congregation and seeing others caught up in anticipation of receiving God's word. It is an awesome responsibility. Ezra and other leaders in Nehemiah have the awesome responsibility of making the words they read understandable to God's people. It is still an awesome responsibility. There is a reason that most of our liturgy is based on scripture, whether it's the call to worship or our assurance of pardon, our prayer of confession, all are based on scripture. My sermons, hopefully, are grounded in scripture. The hymns that we sing are musical interpretations of scripture. The scriptures help us fight our cultural tendencies toward individualism. While private spiritual discipline and practices are important, there is no substitute for for God's people gathering together as the body of Christ to worship. As some have said, there are many things we can do on our own, but being a Christian is not one of them. Together, we are the body of Christ. In our life together, we should seek to share and to be inclusive so that all the parts of the body feel welcome and valued. The people of God do not ask Ezra to speak about God. They ask him to read the word of God. When he opens the Torah, he prays, and the people prostrate themselves with their faces to the ground in response to God's living presence. God is not just the object of our worship. God is not just in the Bible. But the word contained in the book is the measuring stick by which we discern God's will. God is in the book, but God is not the book. God is also the subject of our worship. God is the living Holy One whom we encounter as we gather. Now we work hard each week to express through our worship the friendliness, the hospitality, the grace of God's presence with us, and we work equally hard to express the holiness of God's transcendence, the awesomeness of God, the overpoweringness of God, the energy, the urgency of God, the mystery of God, the fascination of God. It is a tall order to accomplish all those things. We don't always achieve our goal, but that is what we strive for. As long as we are pointing toward being directed by the Word of God, our chances of accomplishing our goal go way up. If we simply try to entertain, if we simply try to point toward ourselves, our chances of accomplishing our goal go way down. God's word can do all of that because the scriptures give us a lens to look at this world and our lives through God's eyes. We are reminded of God's presence and love when we otherwise might feel alone or abandoned. We are pierced with words of judgment when we might otherwise be puffed up with arrogance and self-satisfaction. It is when we gather together as God's people, when we are conscious of coming into the presence of the living and holy God, that we center our worship on God's word. When we offer ourselves to God, we cannot help but be changed. We gather to give glory to God, to have God make a difference in us, so that we can be sent out to make a difference to the world. When all of that happens, we have reason to follow the example of the people of Nehemiah's time and rejoice always as the body of Christ. Let us stand and affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed found in the Aids to Worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us remain standing as we sing our next hymn, 326, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Thank you. seated. I have one additional prayer concern that's been made to me already. If you had not already heard, Randy Bradshaw, who just joined this church last month, passed away on Thursday evening. He is Becky Miedema's father, and we want to be with them in prayer as they mourn the loss of Randy. The service will be at 4 o'clock here at church and here in the sanctuary, and if you'd like to support the family, I'm sure they'd be glad to have you come. So that's 4 o'clock here. Do we have any other prayer concerns or joys that folks would like to share today? Okay. Well, let us turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer. O God of the prophets and the apostles, of all women and men who speak the truth and do it, we thank you for Jesus, who brought good news to the oppressed and sealed his message with his blood. Now we need no longer mourn, for he is the light. Now we need no longer grope in darkness, for he is the light. Now we need no longer groan in chains, for he is the liberating word. O God in Christ, you call us to be prophets. Give us a clear vision and a courage to make it known. You call us to be apostles. Make us eager to be sent and steady in our mission. You call us to be teachers. Give us needed skills of communication. Keep us faithful in the study of your word in Scripture. Make us partners with you in the quest for truth. You call us to administer the parts of the body. Give us the sense of how the whole ought to function. Teach us patience with the weaker members of the body, and above all, deliver us from the pride of position and arrogance of power. Make us ministers of peace and encouragement, so that the body may remain whole. We give you thanks for all who help and heal and perform miracles of ministry. Grant zeal for your church to each of us and love for its unity, so that in your time, sisters and brothers everywhere may gather at one table and confess one God, Lord of all. Lord, hear our prayers for those who have special needs this day. We ask that you would be with the family and friends of Randy Bradshaw as they mourn his loss, as they celebrate his life this afternoon, as they revel in the blessed assurance that through Christ and through his faith, he now lives with you and has no pain or suffering anymore. And yet, comfort those who mourn. And help them to testify to that life eternal that he now celebrates. And we ask that you be with all those who mourn the loss of loved ones. For no matter where they are or no matter who they may be, no matter whether that loss was years ago or just in the last blink of an eye, your comfort and strength at those times helps us, moves us forward. Lord, continue to be with all those who are ill and in special need of your tender, loving, healing care. We ask that you would continue to be with Claudine, with Amy, with Lisa, and Charles and Lib. Lord, continue to be with Matthew, Diane, Martha Jo, Bobby, Gail, Beth and Bill, Dana, Friel, Ella. We give you thanks that Ella is back to her place of residence, and we ask that you would continue to strengthen her. be with Carol, Sandra, Jim, and Tom. Hear our prayers for Nolte and for all those who wish to remain unnamed, whatever their need may be. Guide, strengthen, heal. You know their need. Be with each of them. Continue to be with those who are doing much better, Joe and James, Helen, Kathleen, Diane, Mary Ann, Willem, and Jane. Continue to be with those who protect us and protect our freedoms, whether they are service personnel serving in this country or throughout the world, whether they be first responders that step in when the floods ravage and the wind blows, the rains fall, and we need people who are willing to sacrifice. Be with each of those and each of those groups. Keep them safe. Help them in their efforts. And continue to bless them for their willingness to step forward. Continue to be with the people of Togo as they are going through tremendous turmoil at this time. Bring peace where there is no peace, and help where there seems to be only despair. Hear our prayers, O God, and bind us together as your people, as the one body of Christ, as we pray together the prayer that you taught us when you said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward for the morning offering? Let us pray. Great God, we lift up our hands to bring offerings to you. We bow our heads in prayer to give you honor. We worship your name with praise and thanksgiving. In Christ you bless us and call us your own. Full of joy and belonging to Christ's holy family, we join with brothers and sisters everywhere in presenting our gifts. Guide us, direct us, that we may be beacons of hope and conveyors of your love, both in this community and throughout the world. Amen. And our final hymn this morning is hymn number 316, Breathe on Me, Breath of God.